Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
During a season filled with peace and joy, it's painful to experience grieving at Christmas time. But that's what many people do. They celebrate, simultaneously, they grieve. There are always losses in life. Sometimes these losses almost consume the space meant to be filled with peace and joy. Strategically, there are ways to keep these spaces free for healthy processes, even at Christmas time. The reality of loss often puts you in a place of grieving. Incidentally, grieving is not sin. However, not working through grief and hanging on to it is sinful. Grief is an unwelcome invader. It does not announce its coming. Rather, it simply appears. After grieving has run its full cycle, it can appear again later. This most often happens through triggers. A simple sound, smell, memory, or sight can throw you back into a place of grieving, even if you thought you were finished. Triggers sometimes bring out more that needs to be grieved. When something triggers your grief, take that opportunity to work through to a deeper level of healing. Don't run from it or cover it up. Triggers are a blessing if you grieve in a healthy manner. There is a healthy way to grieve and an unhealthy way. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." Basically, this verse talks about unhealthy and healthy grieving. It also talks about repentance. However, today let's just focus on unhealthy and healthy grieving. When a person sorrows in a worldly way, the result is defeat and death. That means you relive the hurt. You remember all the details. You want to keep talking about your pain. You don't want to submit to the process of making healthy choices. You also don't want to let go, to move on, and to be free. You have allowed anger to mushroom in your heart over an injustice, and you may have let shame short-circuit your grieving process. Those are all indications of sorrowing in a worldly way. And these responses can be rooted so deeply they actually become your default to aggressive situations or to confrontation. It seems impossible to get on with life. In this place, you are slowly dying inside. Well, let's talk about healthy grieving. To sorrow God's way involves a process of hard choices while trusting God is still good and Lord over all life. It means wrestling with hard questions while not always coming up with clear answers. Grieving takes time, energy, and work. Okay, we're going to talk about some action points for healthy grieving. Christmas time is not when you want to be overcome with grieving. Nevertheless, sometimes that is how life happens. When sorrow hits you at the most joyful holiday of the year, there are action points you can engage to help you get through and not miss Christmas completely. Here we go. Number one, identify exactly why you are hurting and/or angry. Number two, designate time and space to turn to God and be vulnerable with Him. Three, during this time alone with God, look at what the offense or loss did to you and how hard or wrong it was. Number four, interact with God about it, perhaps journaling about it. Five, don't deny what happened or shove it under the carpet, or excuse it. Number 6, determinedly look it straight in the eye and accept it as part of your history. 7, with open hands, lift the hurt up to God and give it away to Him. Let go. 8, deliberately turn your eyes to God for healing. And number 9, be still. Wait patiently for God to work in your heart. Psalm 37, verse 7. And this is a process. It may come and go. Well, when you accept a hurtful event as part of your history and trust God for healing as you go through the cycles of grieving, the hurt diminishes until it no longer controls you. Equally, it might be hard to let go of the hurt. Essentially, this could be because you want to launch something to punish another person, even if just in your mind. Or, oddly, you may want to live it over and over, thinking somehow that will help address the hurt. Those thoughts take you out of healthy grieving and into unhealthy grieving. When you let go of hurt and trust God with it, you leave room for God's judgment where it's needed. Plus, you open doors to receive God's comfort. Interestingly, when you let the person or the event that hurt you off your hook, that doesn't mean they won't be dealt with. God will keep them on His hook. God is just and sovereign. He will address all things that concern you. Accept your loss. Be real about it. Do what you can to rebuild, but trust God. He knows how to handle every unfair act. Plus, He lovingly heals and redeems your sufferings. Let's go through some helpful scriptures. Revelation 21:5 says, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" Remarkably, Jesus promises to make everything new in your life one day. Still, He starts that process today. Second scripture, from 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 and 7, this particular passage helps you work through grieving in an unfair situation. It describes how God will handle those who have brought trouble to your life. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with His powerful angels. You can let go of the burden of paybacks. God will take care of that for you. Did you know God will repay? His timing and methods are different than yours. Nevertheless, God does not forget His promises. After all, He is faithful to His word. For your part, focus to find comfort in God rather than repayment. Then commit your future to God. When you've been deeply hurt, you identify with others who are hurting. Be kind to them, knowing someone or something has not been. Quite literally, your own suffering can make you alert to other people's difficulties. So here are 3 things you can do. Show compassion. Always measure your words and actions. And the 3rd thing is take care to not hurt someone else. Jesus' life is a picture of mercy, even to those who wronged Him. However, He was courageous. Here's what He did. He identified wrongs. He spoke directly into sin. Nevertheless, He also spoke with mercy and compassion. Jesus is your example. Let's look at a couple of more helpful scriptures. First of all, Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit." God is close to you when your heart is broken and crumbling. He cares deeply that you are crushed in spirit. Further, He will walk with you through your grief. After all, His Spirit lives in you and feels everything you feel. Ultimately, He will heal you. So, what is your portion? Simply trust Him for it. Another helpful scripture from Isaiah 49, verse 13b, claims that God does two things for you when you are hurting. The first thing is to comfort you. The second thing, it says that He has compassion on you in your affliction. So, in your affliction, why not open your heart to receive His comfort and compassion? And then a third scripture from Hebrews 13, verse 15. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Oddly, this verse talks about a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice is something costly. God sees your loss as you grieve, even at Christmas time. Subsequently, you can offer a sacrifice of praise to God, even when you hurt deeply. Let the fruit of your lips profess the name of God who loves you enough to help and heal you. Truly, God suffers with you. Remember what we said, His Spirit lives in your spirit and body. Consequently, He experiences your sorrow as sharply as you do. It's time for us to talk about a divine sponge. Pursue your grief work as far as you can. Invite God into this process. When you've done all you know to do, pause. And incidentally, in this pause, ask God to do what only He can do. Think of God as a great sponge, a divine sponge. He can soak up grief residue that you feel helpless to get rid of. Here are four steps that you can follow. First of all, open your heart and share it fully with God. Second, ask Him to soak up hurt, bitterness, and other negative feelings. Third, believe Him for that. Actually, it's a miracle. And number four, be willing to wait for His timing. God has a way of absorbing and pulling away from you hurt, pain, and loss. Let God be your divine sponge if you are grieving at Christmas time. Here are some application thoughts and questions. First of all, are you grieving this Christmas? Identify what has happened. Number two, is your grieving healthy or unhealthy? Three, will you let go and let God? And number four, do you believe God's promises to you? Five, will you trust Him to repay? Number six, have you let God be your divine sponge? And number seven, journal a prayer of gratitude to God for His help and healing. Portions of this content come from my book, Reach Back, Intentionally Reaching Back to God. This is a study book that covers various topics like pausing in life, how to handle feelings, loneliness, boundaries, forgiveness, and gratitude. You can find this book in our bookstore, www.aliveandactivelife.org/store. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.